This is Holy Desires, a brotherhood of Catholic husbands growing in intimacy with their wives inside and outside the bedroom. Pull up a chair. You're not alone. I'm Nathan, your host. Glad you're here. Hey there. I am in the middle of a challenge for Catholic husbands on dealing with differences in desire with your wives in the bedroom within marriage. I have been posting recordings of these sessions right here on my podcast. So without further ado, here is the recording of day 3 of Dealing with Differences in Desire, where we talk about some practical strategies that you can use to address some of these issues. I hope you enjoy. Before we really get into it, thank you for sharing. I do want to pray. I realize, much to my chagrin, that I forgot to pray at the opening of our session yesterday. And so I made a note to myself, special, that we got to pray. We got to wrap all of these conversations in prayer, as always. So join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this time that we have together, really set apart to discuss together how we can become the husbands that you have called us to be, how we can serve our marriages, how we can serve our wives, how we can help cultivate and bring about the marriage that you would like us to live together with our, in union with our wives. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us in this conversation. Guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide our words. And we pray for, I pray for all of the men with me live on this call, and all of the men who will be watching recordings or listening to recordings of the session, for all of the wounds, the hurts, the frustrations, the division that they feel from their wives, for the desires in their hearts, for the holy desire that you put in their hearts, in all of our hearts as men, to be close to our wives, to be connected to our wives, especially in the special sacred union of physical intimacy and marriage. I pray that your Spirit will, through its gentle and holy action in our hearts, in the world, in our marriages, I pray the Holy Spirit will work in all of us to bring us closer to our wives and ultimately closer to you as well. All of these things I pray through the intercession of Saint Joseph, whose special month it is this month in March. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Okay. So let me kind of recap where we were and connect the dots, because today, like I mentioned at the very top, it really does build directly on what we've already discussed over the last couple of days. But very quickly, day one, we really laid a bit of a foundation. You're not alone in this. Like, these are really, really common issues. Desire discrepancy is one of the most common struggles in marriage. We also established that negotiation about frequency, it can be a really helpful starting point. It can get the conversation going, but it's not the end game. It's not going to get you where you ultimately want to be. The real path forward is to go deeper, because sex reflects your marriage. The quality of your intimacy is connected to the quality of your relationship. So then in day two, we went deeper. We went under the surface a little bit, and we looked at some of the drivers of desire differences. On the lower desire side, there might be emotional disconnection. We talked about not actually enjoying sex, or even sex being painful, toxic beliefs, past wounds, or stress. On the higher desire side, we talked about stress can also be a trigger for, or a cause, a reaction that we have to stress can be a higher desire. So that can actually work either way, depending on the person. Sex as an emotional connection, which again can be good, but it can't substitute for our love and unity and connection that must be in our marriage, even without sex. It needs to sort of build upon it and deepen what's already there. And then unrealistic expectations or influences from the culture, from Hollywood, You know, if our view of intimacy comes straight from Hollywood, then well, I'll just say it's obvious to men on this call that that's not going to be a healthy, balanced view of what sex really looks like. So all those things can be influencing us in different ways. And this hopefully opened up different ways to understand how desire actually works, what various levers are. And then we talked about responsive and spontaneous desire and brakes and accelerators as two ways to kind of like understand how desire is actually operating in us and in our lives. So today we get to answer the question, all right, what do we actually do about it? And a lot of the discussion from last night really kind of previewed some of the things we're going to talk about today, which is great. This is a really practical day, and I want to give you some real things that you can do relatively quickly. Some of them you could even do tonight. There are genuine quick wins, and they do work. They work. And your wife will notice. But I also want to be honest with you up front. Each of these quick wins is sort of the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to give you the first steps and the real thing that you can do, but then I'm also going to show you, like, there may be other things going on with each one of these dynamics. Because I want you to walk away today feeling empowered and understanding why the deeper work matters. So let's start. Number one is slow down. it sounds really simple, and it is genuinely simple to understand, but this is one of the most impactful things in both my work with men and Sarah's work, my wife's work with women. This one thing has really been like a huge eye opener for so many couples, and that's slow down. We talked yesterday about responsive desire. For many women, desire doesn't show up spontaneously. It emerges in response to the right conditions, for feeling safe, connected, with touch, and it takes time. The practical reality of that is that most women need significantly more time than most men to become fully aroused. And there's research on this. And the research suggests that many women need 30 to 40 minutes, sometimes more, of connection, of arousal, I'll be clear, talking foreplay, before they're really ready to enjoy a sexual encounter. That is, before they're ready to, you know, become close to or capable of a climax. Most men have no idea about this. And again, if you look at Hollywood, like, Hollywood's not going to dedicate 30 minutes of a movie to, you know, that. They're going to dedicate 90 seconds, right? And then it looks like two people are, you know, wildly passionate with each other. 90 seconds later, they're both amazingly satisfied. And that's just not the reality of thinking of how things work with real people. So we as men, it's a call to us. We really do need to slow down and give our wives that time that they need. So here's the quick win. Slow everything down. Don't rush to the finish line. I like to say it's not a sprint. It really is a journey with your wife, right? The time that you have to be intimate, physically intimate with each other. It's not the destination that's really so important. It's the time and the journey spent with her, right? Extend the warm-up, extend the foreplay. Think of the entire evening as foreplay, not just, you know, the few minutes immediately before. And this really isn't just a technique, right? When you slow down, it's profoundly communicating something to your wife. It says, I am here for you. I'm here for you, not just for my own release, right? And I'm not suggesting that any man on this call or anyone listening to this call has that frame of mind when they make love with their wives. What I am suggesting is that what we do with our bodies has a significance and it has a meaning. And when we slow down and we give that time and attention to our wives, that's very deeply meaningful to them. And that's a message that if we go fast, or if we're just not aware of that message, that we could be communicating to them, even silently with what we do, we're missing an opportunity. So, yeah, slow down. It is a complete, huge game changer in so many couples' experiences of intimacy. So, you know, one of the natural questions I often get is, what do you actually do during 30 or 40 minutes? Like, how do you build arousal? How do you read her cues? What do you actually do? How do you stay connected and present? I mean, if exhaustion and fatigue is really a part of your life right now, how do you stay awake? That's not a trivial thing. That's a challenge for some couple. All of these things, like, they're all deeper dynamics that we need to dig into individually, right? It's something that we spend a lot of time delving into inside Holy Desires. Because it's the difference between, like, slowing down as a concept and then actually, like, having a game plan or a framework of what to do, when to do it, and some, you know, specific ideas for, you know, the different stages and how to understand that amount of time broken up into stages and what that looks like. So, but just slowing down, with your wife is huge. All right. That's number one. Number two, oh, sorry, I just caught this comment from Carl. He said, in quotes, whoever said getting there was only half the fun was only half right. Nice. All right. Number two, talk about sex. So here's the second one, and this might be the most important. I often say this, what's the most important thing that men can do improve the quality of their sex life with their wives? It's learn to talk about sex with your wife outside the bedroom. Learn to have those discussions. And for some of you, I totally understand that just made your stomach tighten. maybe she's not interested in talking about it. Maybe you're unaware of how to even get started. Maybe you've tried in the past and it always ends badly. Maybe, like, there's a lot of different things that can go on, and there's a lot of different ways this conversation can go sideways. The conversations around sex in your marriage probably end up either non-existent or they go badly. Maybe you tried it in the past, like I said. But if you can't talk about sex, then you really are gonna be very limited in what you can do to improve it. Period. That's just the case. Like, this isn't a solo activity. That's obvious, right? Like, this is both of you, you and your wife. And you can learn a lot about all of the things that we're talking about here. But at the end of the day, you can do a lot, even without explicitly talking to her. But you can't do everything. At the end of the day, you're going to have some conversations about it. Most of the dynamics we discussed yesterday on both sides live in sort of a space between you. They need words. I'm going to give you some really practical starting points for how to have a conversation about sex right now. Because this is, it can be fraught. And I completely understand and recognize that. So here's a few tips for getting started. First, pick your moment, right? Don't bring it up in the bedroom. Don't bring it up right after you initiated and she's declined. Don't bring it up, you know, when she's walking out the door or when the kids are going crazy. Be a little strategic about when this conversation is broached. I personally like to recommend bringing up difficult or big or emotionally laden conversations, including conversations about sex, while on a walk. Walks are great because the walking helps you naturally work off a lot of the emotions that come up during a conversation that is difficult. It also gives you something to do together where you're looking forward, like you're literally not staring each other in the face. And during a potentially emotionally challenging conversation, that's a good thing, right? It actually decreases the potential for heavy emotions to become overwhelming. So going on a walk is a great tip if you can do that. All right. So pick your moment, consider during a walk. Lead with love. Start by telling her something you appreciate about her, about your marriage. This is not manipulation. It's not, a silly trick. It really is important. What it does is it establishes the context of this conversation. Sex is really important, and it is fundamental to marriage, but your marriage is actually bigger than your sexual relationship, right? It's more encompassing than just physical intimacy. Let that larger context of your marriage, of your love, of your yes to each other, your sacrament, your I do, let that be the context of this discussion about physical intimacy. You're both in this together. And the idea, ideally, you want to be on the same team, on the same page, striving for the same thing, which is a beautiful expression of love. Okay, when you broach whatever, topic or specific thing about sex that you want to bring up in this conversation, here's a tip. We actually teach this to our children all the time. This is brilliant. It's gold. It's gold in so many situations, and it works here too. Ask for what you want. Don't complain about what you don't have. I'm going to type that out. Seriously, it's so good. Ask for what you want. Don't complain about what you don't have. Just remember that. Teach it to your kids and live it. It works at work. It works at home. It works with your wife. Okay, what does that look like? And there's a world of difference between them. Okay, let me give you an example. You never initiate. Well, that's an accusation. She hears blame. Walls go up. Defenses go up. She's immediately in defensive mode, and there's an antagonism between you already, right? That's a complaint. That's an accusation. It might be true, but that's not how we want to say it, right? What would it sound like to her if you said something more like, "It would really be so meaningful to me if you would initiate once in a while. That would really, really mean a lot to me." There's a world of difference between those two statements. The second one, okay, the first one is about your wife. The second one is about you. The first one makes her defensive. The second one is a vulnerable sharing of your own heart and your own desire. It's harder to do that second one, but she can't argue with it. There's nothing to argue with. It would mean a lot to me if you would initiate. She might have reasons for not initiating or whatever, but she can't argue with the basic statement. That is my feeling that I'm sharing with you. I feel sad. You can't argue with that. It's somewhat similar. So when you can vulnerably share what's in your heart and phrase it, your conversation in terms of your desire, your fear, your emotions, whatever they are, and make that conversation about revealing what's in your heart, the conversation will go 1,000 times better. I promise you. So keep that in mind. If that's the only thing you take from this entire challenge, 4 days, it is well worth it. Ask for what you want. Don't complain about what you don't have. Okay, and then the last tip for conversation, for communication, ask her about her experience, right? So if you share something about your own experience, about your own heart, you're vulnerable. This is another big one. Ask her an open-ended question. Ask her what sex looks like for her, what she enjoys, what she doesn't enjoy, what would make it better. This is the hard part. So she may or may not be willing or able to open up. Don't force it if she's not able to. If she is able to open up, or if she does share something, this is another hard part. Just listen. Don't do your absolute best not to get defensive. Don't fix it. Don't explain anything. Like I said yesterday about the open-ended question, just about anything, just listen and be empathetic and allow her to feel heard. Allow her to feel validated in whatever it is that she shared. Because whatever she shares is a gift to you. She trusts you enough to share that with you, whatever it is. And that's a gift. Even if it stings, it can still be a gift. Those are some specific questions some specific suggestions for having a conversation specifically about intimacy and sex. So these tips will definitely get you started. As you probably know, there is a world of deeper, we can go a lot deeper on communication strategy, how to open up, how to help your wife feel safe and sharing what's with you. What I found in coaching men is that the first conversation, sometimes it's the easy part, and sometimes getting over that first one is like the inertia that needs to be broken or, you know, like overcome, and then it gets easier later. So it can go either way. Like sometimes that first part is the hard part, and then it gets easier after that. Sometimes the first one is easy, and then it actually gets a little harder going forward. But it can get so specific, right? What happens if she shuts down? What happens if you shut down? What happens if the conversation surfaces, you know, painful, difficult things, things in the past, things that maybe has not come to light for many, you know, maybe the whole marriage, maybe years. There's a lot that can come up, but it's all good and it's all healing. And if it gets to be more than you can handle as a couple, definitely seek help, right? Help such as, in Holy Desires, we do walk through a comprehensive communication framework. We have a fallback approach for, you know, if people do shut down, there's actually ways to work through that. And then if you need the help of good, competent, professional therapists to work through some of these issues that might come up in these conversations, absolutely seek that as well. But it all starts with being able to talk about sex with your wife. So that is really, really critical. Okay. Number three, this comes pretty, like we talked about this quite a bit in yesterday's discussion. And this is releasing the brakes. Focus on releasing the brakes. So we talked about brakes accelerators yesterday. There's like two levers, right? We can really focus on pressing the gas, right? Like romance, compliments, initiation. But we also need to be aware of what are the brakes and what brakes can we release. There's a really good conversation yesterday, and I do want to add something to it. There's a discussion towards the end of the Q&A about this. And the idea isn't that all of the brakes are released and that, right, like you need to like uncheck every single thing. And then, you know, only then can intimacy commence. It's not like a pre-flight checklist, right? Like that's the wrong way to think about this. What it is recognizing that there are a variety of influences and factors in all of our lives, right? And so we have some agency and some control over some of the things in our lives, and we can be intentional and strategic about what we do with some of those levers that we can pull in our lives to enable our marriage, a particular evening, to make it more conducive to physical intimacy or less, right? It's all gradual. It's a scale. It's all, it's a sliding scale. It's not binary. It's not black and white. So we can do things to help make intimacy more likely, more conducive, or less likely and less conducive. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. So let me talk about three specific ones. I'll kind of hit these quickly because we actually did discuss, I think we hit all of these last night, but it's good to refresh. One is to reduce her mental load. She's really carrying a lot. She's like many of the wives and moms and that I know, including my own wife, like women just carry a lot of invisible weight managing the household. There's schedules, there's meals, there's medical appointments, there's, the to-do lists are incredible and they're all like mental. She's carrying a lot in her head. So if you can do some things to remove or take some of that mental load off of her plate, then that can definitely help. And again, none of these things are meant to be seen as a transaction. Like, I did the dishes and therefore we should have sex. No, but like I said yesterday, it's more, and just now, it's working together as a couple to create the conditions where marital intimacy, physical intimacy, can thrive between the two of you. And if mental load is one of those things that's preventing it, maybe that's like a little weed in the garden. We gotta get that weed out of there. So another one, create emotional connection and emotional safety. So if there's unresolved conflict between you, if you had an argument recently that wasn't truly reconciled, if she doesn't feel connected, then that's a huge break for most women, and desire just is not going to thrive under those conditions. So sometimes releasing the break means like apologizing, or if not apologizing, like seeking reconciliation for some tension or some argument or whatever there is in the past. That can be really, really powerful. Okay, another one is space, right? Space and time. She needs a margin. We all need margin. Men need margin too. If every evening is a blur of kids, screens, collapsing into bed, work, all the things that stretch so many of us so thin, there's really very little room for truth, sure, let alone intimacy. And we, again, last night, we had a pretty lengthy conversation about this exact thing. So maybe that means take bedtime duties so that she can have 30 minutes to herself, turning off the TV a little earlier. Sometimes some relatively small shifts in the rhythm of the evening can really open up some space. So all of this is, really prudential judgment between you and your wife, and just looking at your calendar, maybe with new eyes, and saying, how do we create margin? And it's really a discipline, because once you have margin, let's say you have an hour, a couple days a week, it's really tempting to be like, oh, you know what I could do with that hour? I could go to adoration. You know what I could do with that hour? I could, go to this men's group, or I could go to the women's group, or I could do this, or I could do that. We are so good at filling time with good things, right? None of those things are bad. But we need to be disciplined about protecting the time that we have carved out for ourselves, and being a little jealous of it and keeping it for ourselves. That's a skill. So here's another thing that I want you to notice here. Every one of these break releasers that we talked about and others, it's really, a lot of it is about becoming more attentive and more present and more intentional about prioritizing your relationship and your marriage. So again, these aren't really techniques. These are habits and skills. Like I just mentioned, like it takes a discipline to not fill our time with stuff. Building habits takes time and accountability and a community of men who are working to do the same thing. And so again, that's in Holy Desires, we take 8 weeks to walk together, hold accountability for each other, help identify, you know, what can help with each individual specific situation and find ways to help each individual and walk with everybody in a community. And all right, I've got one more. And this is another one that is really important. This last one is for those of you who recognize something specific in yesterday's session, the possibility that maybe your wife just isn't enjoying sex. And it's more common than a lot of people think. This can be related to my number one, which is slow down. Many women don't enjoy sex or haven't experienced a lot of pleasure. Many women haven't experienced what climax feels like. Some women experience pain and some feel relatively nothing. Some have spent years pretending or performing that they're enjoying it or pretending that they enjoy it more than they do because they don't want to disappoint their husbands. So if that's your situation, I want you to hear me. This is not a dead end. There is definitely a way forward here. The win here, it comes from, has to flow from a conversation, which was number two, but it's got to be pointed in a specific direction. If you suspect your wife is not enjoying sex, the most loving thing you can do is create space for her to tell you the truth and accept that and validate it. Not, do you like sex? That kind of puts her on the spot, makes her feel defensive. But something more along the lines of, I want our intimate life to be something that you genuinely enjoy as well as me. I want it to be mutual, mutually fulfilling, mutually loving, mutually pleasurable. I want to know what that would look for you. And I'm ready to listen. Right? That's a much gentler invitation. And it does take courage. And it might lead to answers that are hard to hear. But again, that's the path forward. And the real insight here is what I said yesterday. If she's not enjoying it, then it's very reasonable that she wouldn't desire it. But if she learns to start enjoying it, then it's also reasonable that she will start desiring it more. So that's, there are things that we can do as husbands, including, you know, specific techniques, learning how and when and where to touch our wives in new ways, getting a better understanding of her anatomy and very, you know, specific skills. And then there are also, of course, relational, the things that we can do to improve the quality of our relationship overall, which does improve the quality of our sex. So if she's not enjoying the sex, slowing down will absolutely help. Listening will absolutely help. But it really requires, you know, a new approach. It often is really helped by technique, but we also need to go a little deeper than just that, like I just hinted at. It means understanding what a responsive desire, what responsive desire looks like at a deeper level. It might mean addressing toxic beliefs that she's carrying about sex. It might mean dealing with past experiences or trauma or abuse, like we talked about yesterday. All of those things are very real. I mentioned yesterday my wife's course called My Delight. And there were a couple other comments of husbands whose wives had gone through My Delight. And I just have to say, Sarah does amazing work with women. She really walks with them through all of these issues. And she can really, really help guide women on their journey towards, you know, releasing anxiety, releasing fear, releasing toxic beliefs, replacing them with much healthier, holistic acceptance and desire and delight. She called her course My Delight, Delight for a reason, because she wants women to delight in sex. So I mentioned some of the conversations in a very general, non-specific, obviously anonymous way with Sarah last night. And she let me know that, and I just want to offer this totally, you know, no pressure or anything, but if anyone on this call or listening to the recording over the next, you know, several days would, if their wives are interested in working with Sarah, her Mind Delight course actually started a few weeks ago, but she is willing to allow a small number of women into the course now, and she'll kind of catch them up on what they've done so far, and then they can continue through that experience with her. So if that is something that that your wife might be interested in or might benefit from, there is a possibility. Even though the course has closed, Sarah did say that she'd be willing to bring a few more women into it if there is a need, right? And she wants to be of service. So I do offer that. No pressure. This is some of the deep work that we do in Holy Desires as well for men. So men and women both, we have these walks of healing that we both need to do. All right. So let me just wrap this up. Everything I talked about today, they are practical things and they do work. Slowing down definitely works. Having conversations definitely works. Releasing the brakes definitely works. Creating space for her to be honest, and space for her to experience, you know, the joy and delight of sex, it works. If you do even just one of these things, you'll likely feel a difference, and she likely will as well, if you do it in love and charity and kindness and all of those good things. But I would also be doing a bit of a disservice if I just left you walking away thinking these tips are the whole picture. I've highlighted some of that throughout. It's not the whole picture. Each one of these sort of quick wins is like the first step into something deeper. Slowing down leads to learning how to actually lead an intimate experience well. There's an art to initiation and how that works as well. Talking about sex is an entire skill set on its own, building real, ongoing, vulnerable, and deep communication about a really vulnerable and intimate part of your marriage, but it's such an important part of your marriage. Releasing breaks leads to becoming the kind of husband who really creates and cultivates, along with your wife, safety and connection and love in a way that allows intimacy to flourish naturally. All of these things are, that's why I put kind of quick wins in quotes. They are easy to understand, but they can take a season to really bring into our hearts and make our own and sort of develop a true habit. So I'm giving you the starting points this week. Holy Desires is where we do that full work over 8 full weeks in a brotherhood of men. We're on the same journey with coaching and accountability. So it's not a sales pitch. It's just the truth about how real change happens. It doesn't happen in a single tip. It happens in sustained, supported, and honest work. So tomorrow I'm going to cast a vision for what's actually possible in your marriage. I'm going to wrap all of this up in another way to think about sex that can be really, really valuable and beneficial for tying all of this together. And again, it's not just more sex. It's something better than that. We want better sex, but not just that either. I'll share some stories from men who have walked this road and come out the other side. But yeah, we really want a mutual a mutual, beautiful, mutually fulfilling, mutual desirous love life. So here's what I want you to do for tonight. This was a long session. Sorry, I'm talking a long time, but we'll get to Q&A in just a second. Which of these four tips, the four quick wins, felt most relevant to your situation? Think about that. Which one made you think, wow, that's where we are, or that's what we might need. And then try one. Pick one thing from today's session and actually try to do it. You might not be able to do it tonight before tomorrow. That's okay. Try to do it as soon as you can. Pick just one, right? Keep it simple. Pick the one that resonated the most that you thought about in that reflection question. Maybe it's slowing down tonight. Maybe it's starting a conversation on a walk tomorrow morning or over coffee. Maybe it's taking something off of her plate this evening or this week. Pick one and do it. And so tomorrow, I'd love to hear about it from anyone who is able to do it tonight or before our session tomorrow. I definitely want to hear what happened, because that's how this works, right? We take these steps. It's not just learning. If you just listen to me talking at you all week, but don't actually do anything different, you're not going to experience any change whatsoever. But if you start to allow the new perspectives, new insights to sink into your mind and your heart, you pray about it, and you actually try to do some things differently and relate to your wife differently, that's how the change will start to show up in your marriage. All right. That is what I've got for tonight. I talked for a longer than I anticipated, but I knew it was a big session.